to Acts chapter 12. Verse number 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel, that would have been a servant, came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. You've heard this passage, I'm sure, before, and I've talked about this passage before. It's interesting to note that Peter was on the outside wanting in. She was on the inside praying for him to come in. And there he was, and she never opened the gate. I just want to talk to us for just a few moments on this subject. Please open the gate. Please open the gate. Jesus, God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me today. God, I need your help. I need your anointing. Lord, I need your help to be able to preach your word. Lord, I need your strength and your power, Lord, moving through my life and God, equipping me, Lord, as I minister tonight. And God, I pray, Lord, that the words that I say would not just be stories, it would not just seem like fables. But God, I pray, Lord, these words would speak, God, that they would speak something clear to our hearts. God, our most important thing is to draw closer to you. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, to preach that we may accomplish what your word wants from us. Lord, I ask for your anointing. I ask for your help. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look to somebody beside them and ask them in your sweetest voice, will you please open the gate? Come on, please. Somebody, please, open the gate. Yeah, let me in, let me in. I stand here tonight telling us that the devil has fooled us for far too long. He has tricked us, deceived us, and held us back from our potential. He has conned us into believing his lie and the fact that he somehow has what we want barricaded in such a way that we will never be able to get to it. That what we are looking for and what we are desiring and what we are hoping to see and the prayers that we make and the things that we're asking God for and the things that we're desiring, Satan would like us to believe he has them locked up and he has them barricaded and he has them held fast and there's no way that you'll ever get there. That you will never see the fulfillment of your promises. That the blessings are for someone else. That the miracles are for someone else. That the blessings, the power is for someone else. And that you yourself can never attain it. I stand here tonight to tell you that everything that you need, everything that you want, and everything that God has promised is not locked up in some vault with a secret key that you can't touch. It's not locked up somewhere and held fast in a way that you'll never be able to get there. It's not guarded by some squadron of armed guards waiting to take you out. No, let me tell you today that everything you need is behind one barrier. I said everything you need is behind one barrier. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, there's one barrier. It's not a vault. It's not Fort Knox. It's not guarded with some secret key. But the one barrier that stands behind between you and what God wants you to have is singular and one, and that is a gate. Now, the enemy has tried to make that sound intimidating. He's tried to make that sound daunting. He's tried to make it seem imposing and threatening. But I looked up just before I came here the definition of a gate. You ready? This is so profound. The definition of a gate is a movable barrier. Let me let that sink in. It's a movable barrier. It's not a permanent structure. It's not something that's buried with concrete and cement, with footers, and with all sorts of things protecting it. No, my friend, it's nothing more than something that has a latch, that has a hinge, that when you decide it's time that you're going to open the gate, I'm here to tell you there is nothing that'll hold you back from opening up what God wants for you to have. What is it that's holding you back from your miracle? What is it that's keeping you from your healing? What is it that's blocking you from the place that God has called you to be? What is blocking your calling? What is blocking that ministry or that gift that God has for you? Let me tell you what it is. It's simply a gate. You see, in Luke chapter 7, Jesus then is on the move. The Bible tells us in verse 12, and when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. I'm sorry, here's Jesus at a gate and a dead man. That doesn't sound very good. This was the only son of his mother. She was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And the Lord saw her and had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, or the bier, however that is pronounced. Let me tell you what it simply is. It's a coffin. It was the structure in which this man was being carried on. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. A simple voice spoken at the gate of the city, and death had to obey. It was at this moment that the dead sat up. He began to speak and was delivered to his mother. You see, on one side of the gate is death. On the other side is life. On one side, there's pain, and on the other side, there's healing. On one side, there's grief, and on the other side, there's joy.
On one side there's sin, and on the other side there is forgiveness. On one side there is hurt, on the other side there is help. On one side there's addictions, and on the other side there's freedom. On one side there's failure, on the other side is a calling. On one side there is a mistake, and on the other side there's a ministry. On one side there's hopelessness, on the other side there's a miracle. What am I saying tonight? Someone, please open the gate. Someone, please open the gate. Someone, please open the gate. I want you to look to your neighbor again and tell them, please open the gate. I'll quit asking if you start opening. And in Acts chapter 12, verse 12, when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. I want you to understand the scenario behind this. It's so important to understand this. James the apostle had already been taken by Herod. He had already been killed by Herod. And now they have Peter. And Peter is due to be killed the next morning. He is due to be taken. It's over. His time is finished. But there was one problem. There was something standing in between him and death. There was something standing between Peter and the life sentence. There was something standing between Peter and being killed by the sword. Let me tell you what that was. It was simply a church that was praying without ceasing. There was a church that said, we're not going to stop, and we're going to keep going until something begins to break. Let me tell you, prayer stands between so many things. We underestimate the value and the power of our prayers. And it's here that Peter is in jail. Herod wants to kill him. He wants to squash this new religion. This some crazy sect of the Jews. I'm going to put them out and stamp them out. These Jesus, crazy Jesus people. I want to get rid of them. And so if I get their leaders, I'll get them. They'll go away and they'll stop. And so he decides he's going to do this. But prayer was made. And the Bible says that Peter came to himself. A miracle takes place, and he gets taken out of that jail, gets placed into the ground. He's now moved out of the jail. When he gets there, he came to the house where they were praying. He comes to the very place that they're praying, at the very time that they're praying. What are they praying for? His release. And Peter knocks at the door. The servant girl comes to the door. She hears his voice, but she didn't open the gate. I want you to catch that. She didn't open the gate. And I want you to notice the next phrase. She opened not the gate, for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said, you're mad. You've lost your mind. You're crazy. There's no way Peter is standing there. Wait, what have you been praying for? What have you been asking for? What have you been seeking God for? What have you been desiring? Why are you so surprised that it's happening? Why are you so surprised that this is taking place? I want you to notice, what's Peter doing? I don't know how long Peter stood out there. But the Bible says that Peter continued knocking, which means there must have been a period of time that he was there, because I know what it's like to be polite, and I've been to doors, and I've knocked on doors, and I know somebody's home. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Boy, I sure hit a nerve right there. And you knock once. The question is, just how long do you wait before you knock again where it doesn't appear that you're rude? When is that moment? How long do you wait? Is it 30 seconds? Is it a minute? How long does it take a person to get to the door? Or are they hiding from you and they don't want you to come in? Are they pretending you're not there and the blinds go closed and lights go out and you know somebody's home? And how long do you wait before you knock again? The Bible says here that Peter continued knocking. That there must have been a period of time that he had to knock again. And he had to knock again. And he had to knock again. And there she is, trying to convince those on the inside that their miracle is standing on the outside. And she's trying to convince those who are praying for the miracle that your miracle is just outside the gate. That your miracle is waiting right there. And I'm here to tell you, if I can somehow convince someone in here tonight that your miracle is just outside the gate, someone would grab it and open it. The hardest thing to convince us of, the hardest thing to get us to believe, is that the miracle is just outside the gate. Devil's had us tricked. He's got us fooled. He's got us thinking it's barricaded. It's blocked up. It's held fast. There's no way that they're going to get to it. There's no way that you're going to find it. It's too hard. It's too difficult. And I'm trying to convince us on the inside that the miracle is just outside the gate. It was not until they opened the door and saw him that the miracle was fulfilled. It was not until the door was opened. As long as Peter stood on the other side, the miracle hadn't happened yet. As long as Peter stood out there, the miracle hadn't taken place yet. As long as Peter was outside, the miracle had not been found yet. I just wonder how many miracles are sitting there just outside the gate, and all they're waiting for is someone to open the door. Let me tell you, prayer alone does not open the door. Prayer alone does not open the gate. Oh, I believe in prayer. And prayer is so important. It's vital to everything we do. But let me tell you, prayer alone does not open the door. Joy alone does not open the door. I'm going to try to convince someone today and tell you just what opens the door. Let me tell you what it is right now. Faith opens the door. Oh, your prayer isn't a prayer until it's mixed and mingled with faith, until faith has joined in with your to where you're praying not for a beg and not to plead and not to say, oh, Jesus, my miracle's so far away. But you're praying with an expectancy that says my miracle is right there. And I'm just going to open that gate and I'm going to get it. I'm just going to claim it. All your joy isn't joy unless it's mingled with faith. If all you've got is joy, or when all you've got is a little bit of joy with no faith, you have nothing but happiness. You know, my happenings are good. But when it's mixed with faith, faith opens the door. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Very familiar passage. I ain't preaching nothing new tonight. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. It was Matthew. It was Matthew. I'm sorry, it was in Matthew chapter 16 that we find Jesus and his apostles. Now, this passage I'm going to read is rather interesting to me. It kind of struck me as rather odd in its placement. Not odd, but kind of cool. This placement of this passage of Mark 16 is right after the Pharisees and the Sadducees had demanded of Jesus a sign. You know the story. The Pharisees and Sadducees tell Jesus, show us a sign. Prove to us you're the Messiah. Prove to us that you're him. And Jesus would not prove himself to them. Jesus was not going to be forced to show them a sign so that they would believe. You've got to hear this. Let me read this again. I'm going to read my notes here. Jesus wasn't going to be forced into showing them a sign so that they would believe. Instead, Jesus looked at his apostles and said, you already believe. I want to make sure you understand who I am. Watch. It was right after this that Jesus takes up Peter, James, and John into a high mountain and is transfigured before them. In other words, he shows Peter, James, and John a sign that he was indeed the Messiah, that he was God manifested in flesh, that he was the one that they were believing in. Now think about this. If only the Pharisees could have seen that. If only the Sadducees could have seen that. It would have been the sign. It would have been the signal to them of what they were looking for. But you've got to understand today, Jesus has a different economy than this world has. Jesus says faith is the substance, not the substance brings faith. You see, the Pharisees said, show me a sign and I'll believe. The apostle said, I believe. And Jesus said, I'll show you a sign. He has it backwards. It's not the way we think. It's not the way our minds operate. But if somehow I can get us to have faith that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that he really does want to reward us, that he really does want to open the gate, that he really... Jesus, show me a sign that my family's going to be saved. How about if you believe your family will be saved? And then the sign. Oh, show me a sign that I'm going to get healed. How about if we just believe that the miracle's there and just allow the signals and the signs to be left up to God Almighty? Whether he shows it to me, whether I have some symbol, whether I have some sign, none of that matters, because faith in itself is my substance. I don't need a sign. I've already got everything I need to believe. The substance does not bring faith. Faith brings the substance. Watch this passage in Mark 16, or Matthew 16. And he said unto them, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, who am I? Who do you think I am? Oh, I know those Pharisees. They're wanting me to prove myself to them. They're wanting me to show myself of who I am. Who do you say that I am? Oh, he says, thou art the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the one we've been waiting for. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You ready? And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this revelation of who I am, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What are gates? What are gates? What are gates? They're a movable barrier. Hell's gates are not nearly as strong as he wants you to think they are. And he would like to hold you hostage, and he would like to keep your children under lock and key, and he would like to keep your miracle hidden away from you, and he would like you to... He would like to... He wants to keep you bound. Not sure. Can I get through there or can't I? Can I open it or can't I? Is it possible or isn't it? I don't know, because it looks so intimidating. It looks so difficult. It looks so hard. And I've tried before and it just seems so difficult. And we're stopped and we're blocked, not by a huge barrier, by nothing more than a movable barrier, something that was meant to be opened. You don't put a gate unless it's intended to be opened. God didn't allow him to put barriers all the way around that were immovable, that couldn't be opened. No, there's a gate. Why? Because it's intended for the church to step in and open those gates and free those who are bound and heal those who are hurting. And Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have more, have it more abundantly. I have come so that they can be healed, so they can be set free, so they can be delivered. And what's the church's response? We stand here looking at the gate, and we stand here staring at the gate, and we can't hear wishing that it would open and wishing something would happen. If I can please get a hold of somebody who's on the inside to say, please open the gate. Oh, but our response is, I don't know how. How do I do that? What am I supposed to do? Do I barge it? No. You know what you do? You simply unlock it. Because Jesus didn't tell him, I've given you power over gates. He didn't just tell you that I've given you power over the gates. He said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Who's got your keys out? Anyone got any keys? Come on, get your keys out. Come on, somebody rattle your keys. Some of you got an awful lot of them. Poor James don't have much faith. He's only got one key. James, when you get busted for breaking into your house and you go to jail, I'll come help you. Some of you, I can see, have a load of it. You have a, Brother Fleming, I thought you had more faith than that. Let me tell you, what you have in your physical possession is nothing more to show you a spiritual principle that in your possession are some keys that God said, I'm going to give these to my church, and I'm giving them for a reason and for a purpose, because they can unlock, they can open. Let's all stand. There's a city out here. There's community out here. There's two counties represented here. That as much as Satan would like to have us believe that he holds these keys, the fact of the matter is, and he's just hiding behind a gate. The only keys he had have already been taken from him. He lost those at Calvary. He doesn't have the keys to open it up. He can't keep you back. Does someone have faith? Someone have faith? I'm not going to stand behind that. This gate's here. Guess what? It's been put on a hinge. That means all I got to do is open it, and whatever's out there can come in. And if your miracle is just outside the gate, your faith opens up the gate to your miracle. If your healing is just outside the gate, then your faith opens the gate for your healing. If your loved ones are just outside the gate, your faith opens the gate, and your loved ones are coming to God. Can I plead with us one more time? You see, Rhoda, the Bible says that she, I want to read this to you, but she constantly affirmed. She constantly affirmed over and over and over and over and over. Open the gate. He's just out there. He's right there. I don't even have to see it. I just have to hear it. I don't have to see it. I don't have to see the sign. I just have to hear the word of the Lord that says it's going to happen. I'm opening the gates. And so I open these altars today, asking someone to please open the gate. Don't let them fool you. Don't let them trick you. Don't let them con you or deceive you. Don't let them make a deal or a barter with you. He has nothing to offer. He only has to gain. You have everything to lose if you barter. Just open. Just open. Just open the gate. Someone want to do that tonight? Your opportunity is now. Your opportunity is now. Maybe as I heard all those prayer requests, maybe there's one that jumps to your mind. Maybe there's a serious situation that you want to touch the throne of heaven for. Open the gate. Open the gate. Open the gate. Let's go.